We're gonna wait for Akiva here. Anyone else we need to wait for? Everyone's here? Okay, so this is just regarding what we're doing. I forgot who made the suggestion, but it's a good suggestion because one of the frustrating things in the summer is you begin something, and by the time you get into it well enough, the summer's over and you didn't really cover much of it. The Sugyot of Chanukah are 2-3 dapim, and I think we're gonna be able to cover it well. Of every single point, but you know, it's really closed unit and you can do it, and so it's exciting to be able to do it. How does it come up here in the second parak of Shabbat? So everyone's familiar with the second parak of Shabbat, right? Those are Daven Nusach Ashkenaz. It's about what candles you can light for Neirot Shabbat, not light for Neirot Shabbat. And the truth is, there's what to learn there too. Every once we can still change and learn the lighting, you know, with beeswax and other kinds of things for Shabbat as opposed to Chanukah. I assume we'll vote for the Chanukah part, which is in between. And what happens is that on Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph, within the discussion of what can be lit for Shabbat, the Gemara on the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Aleph talks about how this applies to Neirot Chanukah. Did you find him?
He arrives tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. The Gemara on the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Aleph starts speaking about what can be lit for Chanukah. Now, after we finish this sugya, we're going to go back and start from there, but I figured this is a good place to start. You know, the sugya of my Chanukah itself, one of the questions that needs to be discussed is why it's inserted right in the middle of the discussion. I mean, the Gemara has in the beginning of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, continues discussing Hilchot Chanukah, then it takes a step back and asks my Chanukah. I mean, shouldn't my Chanukah be at the beginning or the end of the discussion, but not right in the middle? In any case, this is how it appears by us, and we'll begin with the my Chanukah, and then we'll go back to we'll start, you know, with the sugyot that appear beforehand and then afterwards. Okay, so the Gemara asks, seemingly, you know, where does Chanukah come from? What's the basis of Chanukah? As Rashi says, Al Eza Neis Kav Uha, right? What was the basis for establishing Chanukah? The Gemara quotes here a Braita. This Braita is taken from Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit was a document that was put together in time of Bayit Sheni. We have it. We've known about it. The Gemara quotes here from it. But there's other Braita too. It's a collection of dates when good things happened to the Jewish people in Bayit Sheni. Because of those good things, there was a takana made to treat those days as mini Yomim Tovim, on the most basic level, not to fast on those days, not to have a spadim on those days. That's why it's called Megillat Ta'anit, days when you don't fast. And we have the quote here, Chafei b'Kislev Yomi d'Chanukah Tamnaya Inun T'lul L'Mitzpid B'Hon T'lul L'Ta'anot B'Hon שינחסו יבנם להיכל, תימו כל השמנים שבהיכל, שגברה מחות בית חשמנה, וניצחום, פותקו ולא מצאו, אלא פח אחד של שמן, שם מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא יבא לדג יום אחד, נעשה בונס, כדיג בו שמונה ימים, לשנה אחרת, which is interesting in of itself, sounds like it wasn't established until later, כבאום ועשאום, we have the two words, which is interesting, כבאום ועשאום, ימים טובים, בהל ובהודו. These words are, of course, very important. First of all, the usage of the term Yom Tov. Just for the record, does anyone know the first place where the term Yom Tov appears? Sorry?
Esther?
Megillat Esther, it doesn't appear in the Torah. The Torah calls the days we call Yomim Tovim, what does it call them?
Moed.
Chag, some of them. Moedim, Mikra Kodesh. Doesn't use the term Yom Tov. Megillat Esther, Purim, is called a Yom Tov. What's interesting is that both Purim and Chanukah don't have Isser Malacha. Right? The term Yom Tov can be used even when there isn't Isser Malacha. You see here from Chanukah and Purim. The question, of course, is to what extent are both Chanukah and Purim, and what's the relationship between the two of them? Yamim Tovim. It's clear they're not Yamim Tovim for Isser Malacha. The Gemara here mentions them being Yamim Tovim for Halal and Hoda. You don't fast, you don't have a Hespin on those days. But there's a whole slew of other halachot that we find in Tovim, which one could wonder to what extent they apply to Chanukah and to Purim. In any case, we find the term Yom Tov, that is Malacha, which is important. The expression of Yom Tov is Halel and Hodah. Interestingly, we don't hear a mention here of what? What other mitzvah aspect of Chanukah we're a little bit familiar with? Neirot Chanukah. It doesn't say, Kavum Yamim Tovim Neirot Chanukah. It says Halel and Hodah. Interesting that those two things particularly are mentioned. So the question is, what exactly is this Gemara trying to explain? So as we saw before, Rashi mentions that the Gemara's question is, what's the basis of Chanukah? Aleiz anes kavua? How does Rashi know that the Gemara's question is, aleiz anes kavua? Where did Rashi get that from? The answer. Particularly Shana Acheret, Kva'um Va'asa'um. Rashi sees the answer. So he tells us that must have been the question. What's the basis for Hanukkah? So one could infer from this Gemara that Hanukkah is based upon which event? The Pach HaShemen, right? That's what's mentioned here. In which case one could say Hanukkah isn't based upon the wars that were fought, the victories. There were a lot of Jewish historians, you know, the ones who came to study Jewish history with an agenda, not openly and honestly, who said, you see from this Gemara, that Chazal tried hard to play down, right, the military, physical side of the Hanukkah story, right, because they didn't like the Chashmonaim, they turned bad into bad kings, and so they only talked about the Pach HaShemen. That's a big mistake, particularly because if you look at other Gemarot, you see that they do mention the other Nisim. Gemarot and other sources, they do mention the other Nisim. So it's just a spurious historical study with an agenda. Where do we see the mention of the other things? Well, first of all, Megillat Ta'anit itself mentions other events. For those, I gave you the source to go back to the source. It mentions the Chanukat HaMizbeach, and it mentions the victory. Now here one could say, that proves it even more. Because if it's mentioned in Megillat Ta'anit, and the Gemara doesn't quote that part of Megillat Ta'anit, that shows you that they're playing it down, right? The problem is there's other places where the Gemara bases halachot off the other Nisim. For example, which Gemara did you see where halacha is based upon the milchama?
Nashim.
The Nashim, right? Nashim chayavot in erot Chanukah, because afen ayu b'oto anes. What nes? They had no role in the Pach HaShemen. What? I can't hear you. Right, she was involved in the milchama. How could women be chayavot for the mitzvah of Nerut Chanukah based on their involvement in the milchama if the milchama isn't at all the basis for the halachot? Beyond this Gemara, you find in the Rambam, it's interesting that the Rambam details the history of Chanukah before he gets into the halachot. By the other Yomim Tovim, the Rambam doesn't tell you why we celebrate Pesach, what happened, why we celebrate Sukkot. And Sukkot is particularly problematic because those who are familiar with the halachot of Sukkot know that it seems that you have to know why you're celebrating Sukkot to be yotzei the mitzvah, because the Torah says,
"Leman
yidu dorotechem." That's why the tour, Shulchan Aruch, when they introduced halachot, they mentioned the reason why we're sitting in the sukkah also, even though they're halacha books. The Rambam doesn't mention it in Hilchas Sukkah. Only here, by Chanukah, does he begin the history. And the history that he describes, on the bottom of page 1, includes not only the Pach HaShemen, but the pressure the Jews were under, and the military victories that they succeeded with. Why does he mention it if it's not part of what we're celebrating, part of the backdrop to the halachot? And last but not least, you have the tefillot that we say on Chanukah in Al HaNisim. Right, we're familiar with Al HaNisim. If you're not familiar, it's on page 2 here. Not only do we mention the Pach HaShem, the Milchama, we mention only the Milchama. There's no mention of the Nes of the Pach HaShem. People might want to point in Al HaNisim to the mentioning of Nerot. Where does it mention Nerot there? In Al HaNisim? And that assumedly does not refer to the menorah, because the menorah was not lit in the chatzer. Could be that it's referring to what we saw in Megillat Ta'anit about those spears that they lit on top of, maybe as a form of celebration. It doesn't mention the Pach HaShemen. Hanerot halalu, which is what we sing when we light Hanukkah candles. We say Hanerot halalu v'anu madlikim al nisim v'al niflaot v'al tshuvot v'al milchamot. We don't mention the Pach HaShemen. So again, it's not only that we do mention the milchama, it's that we mention only the milchama. So therefore, it's very hard to say that Chanukah is only based upon the nes of the Pach HaShemen. In fact, it seems that it's based also on the milchama, which leaves us with a very big question. Why does the Gemara here not mention the milchama? Or in other words, how do we understand the relationship between the different events that are the basis for the halachot of Chanukah? How do we understand the relationship between the Pach HaShemen and the Milchama? I'm using Milchama as an example of everything else besides the Pach HaShemen. One could talk about the Chanukat HaMizbeach, the other events besides just the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. How do we understand that relationship is a general question, and particularly in reference to the Gemara, how do we understand why the Gemara only mentions this event? And one is a broader conceptual question. The other is a textual question regarding our Gemara. Okay, yes.
Why when you're looking at the Al Nisim, so that Hadliku Neirot V'Chatzar Kanshecha is not talking about the...
Because the menorah was inside the Mikdash itself, not in the Chatzar. Did you have a question, Daniel? Okay, you want to know if you go to the bathroom? Anytime, free, chafshi. You say, okay. I think methodologically, you see it in the Rishonim as well, there are two ways to reconcile, to understand how these two events function in generating the laws of Hanukkah. The first approach is to say that there are two separate events that generate separate groups of halachot. Certain halachot are based on the Pach Shemen, and certain halachot are based on the Milchama. The other approach is to say, and this is more integrative, more complex, that the two stories work together. Not separately. One story generates X, the other story generates Y. But the two stories somehow together generate the halachot together. And I think that these two approaches, you see, in different Rishonim. The first approach seems to be the approach of the Rambam. The second approach seems to be the approach of Rashi. Now my intention was, and again, not just to mention the Rambam and Rashi, but to see the approach in depth. My intention was to do the approach of the Rambam today and the approach of Rashi tomorrow. But I understand that some people may have finished everything already, people are bored. Now this is very important stuff to get into, and it could be people saw the Makaros without reflecting on these things properly. But I want to leave it to you if you'd like to finish this tomorrow or finish it today. Where are people up to? What would people like to do? Those who vote on finishing it tomorrow, raise your hand. Those who are already done and want to finish everything today, raise your hand. What does everyone else think? We're just here for the ride. Okay. So we'll do whatever we can today. Maybe we'll finish the discussion tomorrow, but we'll give more sources for the next thing tomorrow so people who have already finished can move forward. Okay. Let's begin with the approach of the Rambam. I think you see the approach of the Rambam from the fact that the Rambam seems to have other halachot besides what's mentioned in the Gemara here, which would assumably be explained by the fact that there's more of a basis than what's mentioned in the Gemara here. But let's first see that the Rambam holds of additional halachot, and particularly which halacha does the Rambam hold from that mentioned here? Simcha. Simcha. Pasha pshat. If you're taking this Gemara as exhaustive, right, as complete, a complete presentation, simple pshat would be, is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Hanukkah? No, because the Gemara here only mentions Halanoda. Who makes that point? La Halacha. The Torah in the name of the Marami Rutenberg, one of the German Rishonim, he says there's no Simcha on Hanukkah because it only mentions Halanoda. And the truth is, it's pretty meduyuk in Rashi, because Rashi here, when it says when the Gemara says Kfaum Vasaum Yamim Tovim Bahalal Voda, what does Rashi say? It's on the sheet, but you can look in the Gemara too. Rashi says, Lo sha'asurim b'melacha, because generally, Yom Tov means yisr melacha, shelo nikvu ela likros halel v'lomar alanisim b'hoda. Says it was only set up to be days of alanisim and halel. Only as opposed to simcha. What would the logic behind this be? There's a very famous explanation given by the earliest Pirushur commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, the Levush HaTcheles. Remember the Levush, they call him, the Levush. Very famous explanation, which you probably heard about Hanukkah, but maybe never heard that it's the Levush. The Levush asked, why is there no mitzvah of Simcha on Hanukkah? So he explained that Simcha is a physical celebration, which you have only when there was a physical danger. But Hanukkah isn't about physicality, it's about spirituality. That's why there isn't a mitzvah of Simcha. Right? Most people probably heard this idea, it comes from the Levush. And he's explaining the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which you have on the sheet in front of you too. There's no mitzvah of Simcha on Hanukkah. But if you read the next line, the Ramah disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and he says that there's Tzat mitzvah of Simcha. Which is an interesting term, Tzat mitzvah. Tzat mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah says in other places that you have to eat meat on Hanukkah. But that's very mechudash. Because it doesn't say there's a mitzvah, it says Tzat mitzvah. I think that's why we have jelly donuts. You know what I'm trying to say? Is it Simcha? But jelly donuts is Simcha b'tchilaso and sadness b'sofa. Why?
Kind of like run out of the jelly.
Oh, Levi, if you just run out the jelly runs out of the donut onto your pants.
No, I mean, I figure, like,
and the powder's on your hands. What? Yeah. And you get the oily ickiness. and like gain weight. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
what? It's terrible, no? The first day, you're really excited. You have one. Then two, it's like, you know, by Shammai, by Hillel. Who wants a jelly donut by the eighth day of Hanukkah? Adam wants a jelly donut. You're a big jelly donut man. Here's very important, the difference between Americans and English. Because in America, the jelly falls on your pants. In England, it falls on your trousers.
Well, jelly doesn't fall like that.
Either way.
Excuse me, it's not jelly, it's jam. In America, you go to the bathroom to wipe the jam off your pants. In England, you go to the loo to wipe the jam off your trousers. You got it? The one common denominator is... And again, then, of course, you have the sadness with the jelly donuts that you bite in, and there's no jelly there, right? You take a few bites, and no jelly. Then the last part, you got a little of the dough left, and all the jelly. And just if you want some cautious, I have a whole thing of Hilchas jelly donuts. One of the things is, you know, there's two kinds of jelly donuts. There's the one where the hole is apparent. They put the jelly in after they cooked it, right? And then there's the one, the Immaculate Conception jelly donut. There's no hole. Now, why is the hole this jelly donut so holy? Because if there's no hole, there's no way for the jelly to get out. Which is, you don't want it to get out. Give the hole, the one with the hole, to your friend. Who you wanna, you know, you don't like. You take the whole list, jelly donut. Tracy, you're getting all this down. Very important. You don't like jelly donuts because of the jelly. What's tam? Tam. Okay. Well, at least you're safe. Now the Rambam mentions Ktzas Mitzvah. The Rambam though, he mentions Simcha V'Halal. Right. You guys saw the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. What's interesting about the Rambam, by the way, is not just what he does mention, but what he doesn't mention. What does the Rambam not mention?
Hoda.
This is a classic Rambam. He puts in his own thing and takes out the other thing. So we're going to have to get to what happened to Hoda. But first of all, let's talk about the fact that he mentioned Simcha. The Yam Shel Shlomo, the Bach, say from here it seems that the Sudos are a mitzvah. The obvious question is, if there's a mitzvah of Simcha, why did the Gemara not mention it, right? It should have said, Kvaum, L'Halel, L'Hoda, L'Simcha, don't mention Hoda, whatever. So what's the answer? What's the answer? What must you say?
It's all connected.
What do you mean it's all connected?
It's all part of Simcha, L'Hala, and the candles are all part of Hoda or something.
Of?
The Hoda, like it's all part of...
Simcha's part of Hoda? Simcha's a different thing, right? When you read the Gemara, did you think for a second there's a mitzvah of Simcha? Neither did the other Rishonim. I think what you have to say according to the Rambam is that the Gemara's presentation is not comprehensive. The Gemara's intention is not to explain the basis of all of the halachos of Hanukkah. There's more than what the Gemara mentions here. That's what the Darkei Moshe writes. Anyone knows who the Darkei Moshe was?
The Rama.
The Rama? The Darkei Moshe is the Rama's pirush on the tour. Parallel to the Rav Yosef Karo's Pirush on the Torah, which is called the Beit Yosef. The Rama, the Darkei Moshe, or Moshe Isserles, right from Krakow, he lost to the Beit Yosef twice. Anyone knows the story?
They were printing it at the same time.
The Torah wrote the Torah, right? The first Shulchan Aruch. Well, the format of Shulchan Aruch, the Torah wrote. The Torah was the son of the Rush. So both Rav Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles were working on a comprehensive Pirush on the Torah. They're working hard, collecting everything, da-da-da-da. The Bet Yosef got to print first. So the Rama started working on changing his Pirush on the tour from the comprehensive one to footnotes on the Bet Yosef. In the meantime, the Bet Yosef got working on his Shulchan Aruch. And the Moshe Isserles fell behind. He was also working on Shulchan Aruch. Why did he fall behind? He had to update his Darkei Moshe. The Rama was about to print the Shulchan Aruch. Out came the Shulchan Aruch of the Bet Yosef. So now he had to work on changing his Shulchan Aruch into notes on the Shulchan Aruch of the Bet Yosef. Twice a bridesmaid. The Rama. People don't realize. That's why Darkei Moshe is very important. Pirush. You want to understand the Rama's Psakim. You want to understand where the Rama comes off saying Tzad Mitzvah. Look in the Darkei Moshe. And the Rama explains. You have it on your sheet. He says, how can you say the Mitzvah of Simcha Gemara doesn't mention it? He says, the Gemara is telling you what is the basis of the halachot of Halal and Hoda. There are other halachot that are not based on the Neis Pach Hashem. So what are they based on? So the Rama quotes Rav Avram Miprag. who says that it's based on the Chanukah HaMizbeach. Okay, that's a nice speculation. But in the Rambam, I don't think you need to speculate, because the Rambam fits in very nicely with his own halachot. We're looking at the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, right? What does the Rambam talk about in the halachot beforehand? What events did we see he describes in the backdrop? Not only the Pach Shemen, but the victory. Not the Chanukah HaMizbeach, right? The victory. What works out nicely for the Rambam? The Rambam holds this different basei for the halachot. Rafi's smiling. That's a word I made up. Benj, what's the plural of basis? That's the singular. What's the plural?
Basis.
You with me? Now, you should know in proper English, singular is basis, and plural is bases with an E. That's a place where the English language is off. What's the plural of porpoise?
Porpoise.
That's U.S. Say what is halacha Moshe Mitzinai? The difference between U.S. and E.S. I think the plural of basis should be basai. Just so you should understand. Now, I've been saying this for years.
It comes
from the Latin.
Anything that ends with us.
I'm not talking about Bemis. I'm talking about what should be. It comes in with chukim. The one language that has no real chukim is English. You tell me. It comes from the Latin. He's making up rhymes when I bring you to Yotzim in a cloud. Everyone's upset in Hebrew. There's so many Yotzim in a cloud. English is the language of Yotzim in a cloud. Nothing makes sense. So in any case, I've been saying this for years. A few years ago, someone used the word Beisai. I said, wait a second, where'd you hear that? So I tracked it back to someone, one of my Talmidim, heard it from me. Okay, one day you'll remember. Keep, what's the plural of basis? Shkoich. That's why you did so well last night. What's the plural of ping pong balls? Ping pong bye. Anyway, so the Rambam held there's more than one basis. There are basai for Hilchos Chanukah. The Gemara is talking about one. The Gemara here is talking about one. Which one?
According to
the Rambam. Here the Gemara is not talking about the Muhammad, right? The Gemara is talking about Hal and Hodah. What's the basis for Hal and Hodah? The Neis Pach HaShemen. Here we have one very important follow-up question to complete the Rambam Shita. And that is, why does our Gemara only talk about those halachot? why does the Gemara not talk about the other, the Milchama? Because it's only coming to talk about the basis of Hal and Hodah, not the basis of Simcha. So why doesn't it talk about the basis of Simcha too and mention Milchama? Well, you know, what's pshat? So here we have to take a closer look for the Rambam at what Hodah means. What Hal and Hodah mean. We already saw there's a problem in the Rambam with Hodah. What's the problem in the Rambam? He doesn't mention it, right? I think another implication of the Rambam Shita is how you understand what the Gemara means by Halal and Hodah. And let me explain. Halal, one could say, is referring to Halal. Okay. How about Hodah? What's Hodah referring to? When it says they were metakin Hodah, what does it mean? So Rashi says, Al Nisim. Rashi says Al Nisim. They instituted saying Al Nisim. All right. I believe the Rambam could not have explained the Gemara this way. First of all, he didn't. But first of all, he couldn't. Why couldn't he have explained it this way? Because if you're saying that the Gemara is only talking about the halachot that are based on the Neis Pach HaShemen, is the halach of Al Nisim based on the Neis Pach HaShemen? How do you know it's not? Because it doesn't mention it. So Hodah can't be referring to Al Nisim according to the Rambam. And the truth is, the Rambam doesn't mention Al Nisim in Hilchos Chanukah. It's not Halacha of Chanukah Al Nisim. He mentions in Hilchos Tefillah, like many other things. You say we say in Talmud the Levracha. You say it's not a din in Chanukah. So what does the Gemara mean by Hodah? So one could conceivably answer, the Rambam understood Hodah is like Halel. It's all connected to Halel. If you look at Megillas Tanis, they mention together Halel, Hodah. But I think the explanation of the Rambam, if you look in the rest of the Rambam, is otherwise. You could say that, but I think the explanation is otherwise. Because the Rambam does mention Hodah in Hilchos Chanukah. In one place. Not in Perek Gimel. Someplace else. Where? If you look in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, on page 3 now, the Rambam there mentions Hodah. It's the only time he mentions Hodah in Hilchos Chanukah. At the very end, he says, Mitzvah's Ner Chanukah, second source on page 3, mitzvah ner chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi ad mod vitzarech adam li zeherba kedei lehodi hanes ulehosif b'sheva chakel vehodaya lo al anisim she'asa lanu hodaya, right? What's the context of the mentioning of hodaya here? Sorry? What? No, well, slow down. The mitzvah of Neirot Chanukah. What does the Rambam say? Why do we light Neirot Chanukah? Kedei? Lo diya aneis, lo hosif b'shevach hakel, v'hodaya la'anisim, it's to give shevach and hodaya. Or what we might call halal and hodaya, right? I believe the Rambam understood. When the Gemara said they were koveyite for halal and hodaya, it doesn't mean the saying of halal and the saying of al-anisim. They mean doing things to generate halal and hodaya. What thing generates halal and hodaya? Lighting the neirot. You might be saying, right, Tarek, and this is a very big chiddush. Halal and hodaya mean by lighting neirot? It's not such a big chiddush. You all believe it. You all say it 8 times over Hanukkah. Where do you say it 8 times over Hanukkah? Haneirot halalu she'anu madlikin. Al anisim v'al haniflot v'al hatshuot v'al hamilchamot she'asit al avoteinu. Let's continue. Haneirot halalu kodeshem v'ein lanu reshut lehishtamesh bahem ela lirotam bilvad kedei lahodot lahodot lahalel. What's kedei lahodot lahalel? The neirot. So v'feirish haneirot halalu. Whatever, you know, whatever serves your purpose, the Rambam, songs. But it's an Aneres Halalu! Meaning, in Aneres Halalu, we say, we're lighting the candles kedei lahodos ulahalok. Now, this Rambam is very understood, l'shitaso. The Rambam understands that the Gemara here does not aim to give a comprehensive presentation of Hilchos Chanukah. Which halacha is it coming to explain? Neirot Chanukah. Why would it be explaining Neirot Chanukah and not the other halacha of Chanukah?
Only times not the Neirot.
Because that's what we're talking about in this parak. Remember, it's Bamemad Likin. We got on to the issue of Neirot Chanukah. We start talking about Hilchos Neirot Chanukah, right? So now the Gemara is my Chanukah. Meaning, where did the law of Neirot Chanukah come from? And we ask, isn't it strange that we only mention Halal Adah and not the Halach of Neirot Chanukah? According to Rashi, that's a very big kasha. According to the Rambam, it's no kasha. That's exactly what we're telling you. They were Koveah Halal Adah. How? Through Neirot Chanukah. Either there's other Halach of Chanukah. You're right, that's not what we're talking about here. So in other words, according to Rashi, halal and hodah means saying halal and saying al anisim. According to the Rambam, it seems, halal and hodah are what is accomplished through Neirot Chanukah. Just understand that very important difference. I think one could connect this debate about how to understand halal and hodah to which verb the Gemara uses. What do I mean, which verb? The Gemara here is a little bit of Earl Frazier. How many of you guys know who Earl Frazier is? He's the Nick announcer, right?
It's Walt Clyde.
Oh, it's Clyde, yeah. Clyde is the nickname.
No, Walt.
Walt Frazier. I said Earl. That's Earl Monroe. Excuse me. I'm getting confused. My Nick guards from the 70s. Excuse me. Walt Frazier. So, Michael, what does Walt Frazier always say? What's his trademark?
I mean, like, he has a lot of them.
Rhymes. He's swishing and dishing.
Right.
Swishing and dishing under the boards. Right? Okay. The Gemara here plays a Walt Frazier. How? It uses two verbs to describe what they institute. What does it say? Kvom vasum. Could you see Clyde? Kvom vasum. How? Why does he use two verbs? Why does he use two verbs? So the truth is, if you look at the Girsos of the Rishonim, most of them don't have two verbs. Look, for example, at Rashi. Rashi says, Hochi gar sinan. Right? Ve'asa'um. He's trying to tell you which one to have. The riff, source 3, page 3. Which verb does he have? Kvom. You see how both got into the Gemara, because different people had different verbs. Now let's think for a second. What's the difference between asa'um and kvom? Anyone? Yeah, okay. And asum?
Sort of a direct activity.
Asum means to create something. But you're saying it, but I'm just sharpening it. Asum means to create something. Kvaum means to set it down. To make it permanent. Asa'um is to make something up. Kva'um is to take something that already exists and establish it. If you understand halal and hodah to mean instituting alanisim, that would be the verb asa'um, which is how Rashi, you know, again, which came first, chicken or egg, hard to understand. Did Rashi choose the verb asa'um because he understood it meant halal and hodah? Did he understand it meant halal and hodah because he had the verb asa'um? And that we'll never know, right? But if you understand that it's taking Nerot Chanukah that were already lit, right, and establishing that people should light it, it's not making something new, it's just making it kavua. So it makes sense. The Rambam had the Gears of the Rif, which generally had, to be koveya, not to make something new, to be koveya it. What's interesting is that the Riaz, one of the Italian Rishonim, fourth source, he has both verbs, like we have, Shana Acheret Kfaum Vasaum, and he mentions, what does it mean? He has everything. That makes sense. If you have both verbs, you would have both types of things. Things that you're creating and things that you're establishing. So therefore, let me summarize. And then I'll add a couple of peripheral points to clarifying the Rambam Shita. Tomorrow we'll get the Rashi Shita, even if people are going to prepare on. We'll do it, and then we'll continue on with the next sugya. Okay, we'll finish up the discussion tomorrow. Just to summarize, what I'm suggesting, according to the Rambam, is that the Rambam held there were other halachot, not mentioned in the Gemara here, that are based on the other nisim, like the milchama. You see, the Rambam has other halachot, simcha, and you see he mentions other events in the backdrop, milchama. And this, I think, also impacted how he understood the Gemara here, particularly halal and hodah, because since he understood that our Gemara was not comprehensive but only relating to the Nerot Chanukah aspects, things connected to the Pach Shemen, he couldn't understand Halal and Hodah as being Halal Nisim. I think Halal also has to do with the Milchama. And that's why he had to explain that Halal and Hodah means what you do through Nerot Chanukah, like we say in HaNerot Halalu. And we connected that question to the verb Kfa'um versus Asa'um. Okay, questions about this? So to it, yes?
Why does Asa'um mean Tefillah?
Because it's instituting a new Tefillah, you have to write a Tefillah. It's not...
I think it was treated as like kaboom, whereas Asa'um was like something that they did then, but they knew it happened. Not like.
Irrespective. It could have happened later. Asa'um, they made something up later, right?
I'm not understanding the difference between
Asa'um. Asa'um means to create something, kfa'um means to set it down. The Nerot Chanukah didn't need to be created because they had already existed, right? The tefillah of Al-Nisim had to be written. Didn't exist, right? There was no such thing. Okay. Two addendum points for the Rambam Shita that are peripheral but interesting and important. Number one, this may confuse things a little bit, so if you're a person that gets confused, don't listen. Okay, but I believe that in truth the Rambam understood that Nerot Chanukah is connected to both Nisim. And what I just said is that Simcha is connected to Milchama, correct. But Nerot Chanukah is connected to Pach Shemen, correct. But not only Pach Shemen. And I have a Farish Rambam which I think proves this. People don't read carefully. Let's read ourselves carefully. The Rambam we just saw, second source on page 3. Mitzvat Ner Chanukah. Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. V'tzarich Adam Li Zeher Ba. Kedei Lehodia HaNes. To let people know about the Nes. Ulehosif B'Shevach HaKel. V'Hodaya Lo Al Anisim. The Rambam just moves from what to what? Singular to plural. So first thing before we explain the Rambam is, clearly, we light the candles not for one nes, but because of multiple nisim. How do I know that? Nisim. So, it's pashut, right? You can't disagree with this. The Nerot Chanukah are connected to nisim, not just nes. So I've proved the point. But now I've irked your interest. Why does the Rambam begin with singular and move to plural? So it seems that the Hodaya with an ayin, the Lahudia, to inform people is only about one nes. The Hodaya, maybe the Shevach HaKel also, is about many nisim. That's pshat. So I think the explanation could be that letting people know, we generally call that what? Pirsum anes. That's only needed for the Nes Pach HaShemen. Because the Milchama, you don't have to let people know. Why not? It's a well-known fact, right? They have the history books. Everybody was part of the Milchama. Everybody knew about the Milchama. The Pach Shemen took place in the Mikdash with a few Kohanim around, right? So which nace do you have to inform people about? The Pach Shemen. But Shevach HaKel and Hodoyolo, that for the Milchama. Maybe be Iker for the Milchama. Afen Hayabothanes, the Milchama, right? We're giving Shevach, we're giving Hodoyah. And here that's why I added these sources that talk about the ancient customs to light candles as a way of celebrating. Look, we saw it in Megillas Tainus that they lit those spears, right? The Hedliku Neros Bechatzros Kachecha, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which talks about the Churban that will come, and then there won't be any more Or Aner, which the Targum Yonason and Tosis explain is an expression of Simcha. Or in other words, we light the Neirot Chanukah according to the Rambam for two types of reasons. Number one, pure Samanes. Very important thing, right? But even without that, for our own, as a mechanism of our own Shevach and Hodoya. You see this duality in the Rambam. You have to read the Rambam carefully. I think this duality could explain a lot of other dualities you find in the Rambam and Hilchos Chanukah. Let me just finish presenting the point. There's two points where we see these dualities, and the other point in the Rambam I'll mention tomorrow. Let's go back to Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. If you're reading the Rambam carefully there, you notice something interesting. The Rambam seems to mention things very deliberately, stage after stage. The Rambam says, after he talks about the history, "Umipnei zet kinu chachamim shebaoto ador sheyehu shmonat yamim ha'elu shetchilatam milah chamishim ba'asrim b'kislev yimei simcha v'alel." He starts off, he talks about the Tekana of Chanukah. And then he says, let's read carefully. Umadlikin bahen haneros ba'erev al pitchei abatim b'chol laila v'alayim shmat elo laharot ulegalot hanes, etc., etc. The Rambam doesn't say umadlikin bahen neros. He says umadlikin bahen haneros. It seems that the neros are already known. Meaning, we already know you light neros. The chiddush is umadlikin bahen haneros, we already know about al pitchei abatim. Rambam didn't mention the Neros yet here, at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. You could say the lighting of Neros makes sense because of the Shevach and the Hodoyah and the Simcha and the celebration, even before you get to Pischei Abatim. Why do we light it al Pischei Abatim? In order to create what? Pirsum. This is a second level, not the base level. And I think this can explain why my Chanukah is mentioned right here in the Gemara. If you look before, the halacha mentioned right before my Chanukah is that you have to light al Pesach HaBayis. And the Gemara asks, my Chanukah, what's the message we're trying to send out? Meaning once we, if it had just been lighting Stam anywhere, it would be a celebration. We know what we're celebrating. The Gemara's question is, why do you have to light al Pesach HaBatim? What message are you trying to send out? Ah, the Pach Shemen is a message that needs to be sent out. Possibly. One more point where I think you see this duality according to the Rambam, and of course we'll get to this more in detail, are the multiple levels of the Chiv. Everybody knows that Me'ikar Adin, Yoyotze, the Din of Neros Chanukah, by each home lighting one candle, Ner Ishu Beisa. Mahadrin is each person lights. Mahadrim in the Mahadrin is the number of candles of each night. Right? I think that Mahadrin makes sense, Midin Shevach and Odoya. Each person wants to give Shevach. Each person is going to light their own candle. Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, is meant to highlight the different levels of the story, right? The first night, and the second night, and the third night, and the fourth night. So here too, you see this duality of Shevach and Odoya versus Pir Samanes. And I think you see that in the Rambam. I just want to clarify that. According to the Rambam, it's not a classical brisker chiluk, if there are any, of Simcha and Milchama, Neros Chanukah and Pach Shemen. The Neros Chanukah include both Nisim under their rubric. Tomorrow I'll add one more point for the Rambam, I'll just mention it now, which is that I think according to the Rambam, Neros Chanukah are more central to the character of Chanukah. Sugya in Rosh Hashanah, for those who saw it, didn't see it, etc. In general, on the Makorah sheets, the sheet with the whole list is what to do. These are just for Shir, and I suggest not using these sheets during Seder. You'll use the Svarim. Just for Shir to have all the Makorahs. Okay. And I put some of the peripheral stuff in parentheses, like the whole discussion of the Sugya in Rosh Hashanah. So those who didn't see that discussion yet, I recommend seeing it. And then I want to see Shittas Rashi, because as we saw, Rashi understands the Gemara's presentation here to be comprehensive, right? Because he says, what's the Gemara's question, my Chanukah? Not what's the Pach Shemen based upon, but what the whole Yom Tov is based upon. And when the Gemara says Halal and Hoda, Rashi says only Halal and Hoda. So where's the Milchama according to Rashi? What's the significance of the Milchama according to Rashi? And you can't say that according to Rashi the Milchama is insignificant, because Rashi himself in Psachim says that we say Halal because of the Milchama. So I understand that we say Halal because of the Milchama or because of the Pach Shemen. So the answer must be both. How does both work together? That's what we'll discuss in Rashi tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll give out some more Makoros. Going back now to Chafala from Medala from the bottom. We're going to go back now. Psilos, Shmanim, etc. We'll begin a little bit tomorrow and continue after Shivas Vatamas. On Shivas Vatamas we'll have a special shiur in Inyanei Tainis, unless people prefer not to. Have just continue Chanukah. I thought maybe to have a shiur about Tainios. What do people prefer?
During the fast day?
In the morning.
Taniot?
Yeah, sure. Seder? Okay, so we'll finish this tomorrow and we'll begin discussing the Psilos and Shmanim for those who begin. One second, Levi had a question. Yeah. My wife is putting up a sign. You can speak to her. She's my boss anyway.